So we had to pay a lot of money for this guest preacher to travel all the way from Reading. Thank you for preparing. And we're just going to pray for Becky now as she brings the word. Oh, Father, thank you for how you move and how you work in each of us and for the things you've been speaking to Becky about this week and the weeks leading up to this. Father, we just pray for your anointing on her to deliver an honest representation of what's on your heart for us, or what's on her heart for us. Lord God, may we be receptive, ready to learn, humble in heart, and clear in thought, to hear your voice and to follow you with all our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Okay, well. Can I just check? Can I be heard okay? Yeah. Amazing. Well, good morning. And I did check the clock again to say that I can say good morning. It's not the afternoon yet. So good morning. And thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to join you. And it's also a pleasure to be on this journey with you through this pastoral vacancy. It is my prayer that we, through the weeks, the months to come, that we will know and be able to listen to God's guidance, to listen to one another, and ultimately to draw from the well that is Jesus. But I'm here this morning to give you a little bit of, a message, and if there's anything that you take away from this morning, it is Emmanuel, God with us. There's no coincidence about some of the song selections this morning. But I am here to give you a little bit of my story, my testimony as well. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Becky. I spell it B-E-C-C-I, because I can. Because actually, years ago, a family friend put in my birthday card a variety of different spellings that I'd never even come across for Becky. And I went, ooh, I like that one. And thought, yeah, makes me a little bit different. I can stand out. That's kind of my deal. Except until I went to a toddler group where there was four of us. Four with a B-E-C-C-I, and I went, well, that's just rude. I am wife to Ollie, mother to Isaiah and Jonah. I work at teen school, and I support students who have special educational needs and perform the necessary crowd control duties when dealing with hormonal teenagers. Needless to say, it's never dull. Not one day goes by that something hasn't happened. And apparently I am missed when I am not there. And even a colleague of mine said just on Friday that she used me as a kind of a bit of a carrot to dangle for one of the kids. So I was like, carry on. But a bit of potted history about me. I was, as Darren alluded to, I was born in Reading. I am from a Christian home. I have an older brother and an older sister. So yes, I am the younger child. Yes, I got up to mischief. But I have a long history, a heritage, in fact, of Christian missionaries in my family. My great-great-grandparents went to China, and there are connections with the original Hudson Taylor. So I'm very proud of that fact. I don't shy away from that. That is part of my family line. I'm sure there's lots of question marks as to whether they did it well and appropriately in the culture, but I'm proud of the fact that that is part of my heritage. I grew up in an evangelical church, which was part of a larger group of churches, a big network called King's Church. I was baptized when I was 11. You'll be pleased to know, full immersion. I went for the full dunk. I joined the band, funnily enough. Singing as a young person. I was invited to help in children's work, followed by the youth work, and actually became a young leader, and then even spent my gap year as a kind of, a bit of a jack of all, really, but it was the opportunity for me to learn and grow in that leadership skill for children and youth work. I also started volunteering for a local charity where we used to go and meet kids who were meeting out on Friday night in a park, doing all sorts. I may or may not have been one of those kids prior and learnt a lot. we won't say too much about that. But in my gap year, a man turned up at my church. And he kept coming. And he kept coming out to this Friday night youth project that was called Jack, just around the corner. It turns out it was this guy. This guy. And I began what I can now officially call, because I'm in the eyes of all teenagers, I'm old. Okay, from the minute I started youth work, I was old because I was over the age of 18. I can now call it a career because I've been doing it for 20 years. But I first started working for a local council project for kids who were at risk of offending or re-offending. It sounds very serious, and it was, and at 19, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. But there was a really wise piece of advice I got, which was, you could have gone to uni, you could have studied it all, but actually you've spent time with the kids, you've got experience. And I've always held on to that, that time and experience you can only gain through actually putting yourself in the mix of the mess. I got engaged to Ollie. And whilst preparing for our wedding, we actually discussed church youth work with the vicar of the village community, just on the outskirts of Reading. There's kind of these funny little patches that are sort of rural but not, because we're a massive city. And these discussions led me to a job, which was the next village along. So we got married in one, but they told me about a job that was in another one. And the other village was where Ollie grew up. And I'd occasionally bump into his parents walking around the village, who would really unhelpfully say, "Oh, great, did you find the cut through?" And I go, "What cut through? I've just walked all the main streets around. There's cut throughs?" And they're like, "Oh, we'll teach you them." And thank you. That would help. So this church that I became the youth worker at is called St. Mary's Twyford. I was there for nearly 11 years. Where I trained, and this is where it sounds a bit, what's the right word? Smarmy, maybe. I trained in, ready? Youth and community work and practical theology. It's also a really long mouthful to say, and it sounds ridiculous. But it was a joy and a hardship to be part of this worshipping community. But it was also a blessing to be there. Drawing on a different stream of church stretched me. So this was an Anglican church, and I had all the questions. It deepened me, and it helped me to see that there were actually different ways of doing this thing called faith. I am not entirely sure if the vicar loved me or loathed me because of all my questions. Why are we doing it like this? Can't we do it like this? What's this about? Why are we doing that? Do we have to do it that way? Oh, canon law. Okay. And there are still words that I have not got my head around as to what they mean. But the community that I served there were phenomenal. They rallied around me, they rallied around the children and the young people and my colleagues. We were blessed beyond measure to see the children's faith journey grow and develop. And I had my two boys during these years, and was really lucky to have a young man come and fill my space just whilst I was on maternity leave. And I did a little bit of a negotiation when I came back, and I said, "Can I come back and he stay?" And they went, "Ooh, I went, can we make this work?" They made it work, and it was brilliant. It was a really nice partnership. I got to see him grow and learn in his own way. Had Jonah went, "Right, off you go. You've done this before. You don't need me." But then, sorry, I'm about to use another C word, not Christmas, but COVID. COVID came along. Yay. And suddenly, I had to care for my boys at home, who were 3 and 5. And I was asked to be supporting young people via a screen, which you think they would love. But no, they'd been on it all day with school. So by the time it came to me in the evening, they're like, do we have to? So I had to make the really difficult decision to leave. It was the right thing to do, But it was a very difficult decision. It made me very sad to leave all the young people that I'd been walking alongside for 11 years. But I had my kind of crowning glory at the end of that time was I got to see a lot of them confirmed in the church. And that was really, really special. And it felt like I'd done my bit. I could have my peace with it. But it did open up an opportunity to actually go and work at the boys' primary school. The head teacher there was a Christian, wonderful, wonderful woman. But I started working with 64-year-olds. Yes, a few of you are raising your eyebrows, thank you. Yes, I decided I didn't like that. I prefer teenagers. So call me what you like, weird, fine. I decided to bow out of primary school and go, let's go back to secondary. I much prefer that age group. So I started working at a specialist school for young people with emotional and educational struggles. I actually became the art teacher. I love to be creative as a hobby. I paint, I draw, I make earrings. So you will always see me with something around. If not, it's what I wear. In the meantime, I continued to attend my home church, which had been through some rocky times pre-COVID, as well as in the aftermath of COVID. I joined the leadership team and was able to help replant the church and steer it into a new future as our pastor, a dear family friend, was due to retire. Sound familiar? Then in 2022, we decided to take an adventurous leap and explore moving to Devon. Fast forward to July 2023 and we had arrived. In a nutshell, we chose to do this after a series of events had caused us to reevaluate what we wanted out of life. I'm sure a few of you here would have had that with COVID and just life changed. We had some questions to answer. Moving was a bit of a battle, but we just really felt we were called for a purpose. I began a job for a Christian organisation supporting young people who couldn't cope in mainstream school. And funnily enough, it's run out of a church in Torquay. You might have heard of it, Upton Vale. So it was called Acorn, a Christian organisation. It was quite intense, so I was there for about 15 months in the end. But whilst I was doing that role, supporting students, I was on the side doing a part-time chaplaincy course, which then actually helped me to explore other roles, and a job came up at Teen. So I worked there as part of the inclusion team to support children with special educational needs and also the social and kind of emotional and mental health challenges that they might come across. I'm not the school chaplain, but I like to dabble in it without them knowing. So I see my role there as a significant step into providing care and compassion and a listening ear. Not just to the students, but to the staff. And there have been a few little opportunities that have come along my way that I've gone, how are you? How can I help you? And that's a real blessing. But I say all this, what the heck has any of this got to do with Emmanuel, God with us? That was my message, right? Well, it's easy to me to give you that lovely little potted history of myself, in terms of my work and my family and my church, and it sounds straightforward, right? The reality is not quite so. It's not smooth sailing, and it doesn't just work out beautifully. So I feel at this point, I just need to give a little bit of a warning. I will be mentioning some difficult moments in my life, which will include loss. So, for anyone in the room, if that's uncomfortable, if that feels difficult, please take time, take space, whatever you need. There is space for you here to feel what you feel. But I'm not going to shy away from what's happened to me. Okay? So, as I said, my childhood, I was brought up in a lovely Christian family. It was happy, it was safe. I got on with my siblings most of the time. I encountered God for myself probably around about the age of six, and it was at a youth camp And it was in my early teens that I discovered that church, you won't believe this, of course you won't, church could be messy and complicated. The big church network that I had been a part of and grown up with split. I had absolutely no idea what it meant at the time, but I saw people that were divided and I saw hurt and I didn't understand what was going on. This meant my parents and I went back to one of the kind of sub-churches. We sort of all broke off. That was called Brookside. And that became my spiritual home. Then at age 14, a friend of mine was killed in a car crash. And this had a profound effect on my understanding of how precious life is and how heartbreaking too. I then had quite an ongoing self-esteem issue in my teens. I had to battle with, who am I? What does this mean? I'm trying to be a Christian, but my friends want me to do this. I want to have friends, but I want to follow God. What am I supposed to do? And I found the way to go through that, rightly or wrongly, was to find lots of different boyfriends. And that was me trying to fill that hole of, I want to be loved, I want to be valued, I want to be worth something. And I actually became quite sad and quite lonely. And I couldn't really figure out why, because I still had Jesus. So I thought, for goodness sake, why is any of this happening? I've got Jesus, surely everything should be fine. Then one Saturday, someone completely unknown to me, but was connected through a family member, shared a really profound image. The image was me stuck in a dark well with no one around to help me. So she was quite bold. What she was able to see through her vision was the darkness that was surrounding me and my mind, and the hurt that I was carrying in the loneliness. And this sort of unlocked something in me. It almost gave me a validity to how I was feeling, and my parents went, what? Where have you been hiding all of this stuff? And I'm like, upstairs in my room. Then I'd just gone on study leave for my A-levels, aged 18, and a friend of mine took their own life. No prior warning, no signs of them feeling low or anything like that. And I'll be honest, this completely broke me. I entered an incredibly dark and depressing place that I wouldn't wish on anybody else. But God, He used this as an opportunity to refill my life with meaning, purpose, and my true identity. I joined things like Freedom in Christ and did the course to help me kind of just lean into the truth of what God says about me. And it helped me to kind of embed some of those things in my life again. He became my life. God, in His mercy and compassion, used the broken parts of me to show me where I'd been thinking in unhelpful ways and to put me back together gently and carefully. So I knew God to be with me through revelations that others had spoken over me, and I was able to grasp a little more of His love for me. I was in the valley of the shadow, but I wasn't alone. Instead, I was offered a way through it. I left school having some idea of what job I wanted in the future and where I wanted to go to uni, but I didn't get into the course that I had planned. I had the grades. It didn't make sense. So for reference, it was to be an occupational therapist. My mum is a nurse, my sister is a midwife, so I thought I'd just try and complete the set and have a little medical family. So I was really, really confused and frustrated, quite frankly. I was like, come on, I've done all the hard work. I've done all the right courses. Why can I not get into this course? So I just had to give it over to God and go, you know better than me. I don't know what to do with this. And luckily, I'd already pre-prepared a trip around the world to stay with friends and family as part of my gap year. So all the way over in Australia, again, somebody I'd never met before spoke something over me that was, God's got something in store for you. He's made something ready for you. I thought, okay, that's beautifully vague. Thank you. So I just kind of took that, but carried on with my travels, having a lovely time. But this is where the plot thickens. I'd met Ollie a few months before going away. We'd been together for a few months. And our friendship had blossomed into something deeper. And it turns out going to uni was not going to be the right thing. I had found a Christian man who wanted to journey through life and faith with me. And I was very grateful to God for that. My desire from childhood had been get married, have babies. That's what I wanted. I wanted to be a mother. I wanted to be a wife. So God knew exactly what was to come. There was no point in me going to uni because I had a life to live with my husband. So we were engaged. I got married at 20. And all our kind of premarital chats with the vicar had meant that I ended up changing my job and starting studies in a different way. So I had the real benefit that the church paid for me to have the role as a youth discipleship worker, and then they paid for me to go and do a degree in youth and community work. So God kind of pulled these threads that I thought made no sense and was just mayhem into something really, really beautiful. And he knew that my yearning was to get out of the council job because I was getting really frustrated and I was not able to share my faith. And in fact, I could have lost my job if I shared my faith. And I just wasn't okay with that. It's too intrinsic to who I am. So he heard my cries and provided a way. Emmanuel, God with us. In the early years of working at St. Mary's, Ollie and I were also looking to start our own family. And this too was not without its challenges. In February 2013, having waited very excitedly for our 12-week scan, we were delivered the heartbreaking news there was no baby. I cannot begin to tell you the pain that we carried in that season. But we tried again. And we found out a little earlier this time that our second baby was also not to be. And if I'm really honest with this news, I lost a little part of myself. I carried shame, which if any of you have ever carried any of that, it ain't nice. And grief, and I became quite broken again and go back to being 18 and feeling quite scared and dark. It was almost like being back there in my head again. But God knew me, and he knew my husband, who's very good at calling me out and going, get up, get help. So I found a local Christian counselling service, who, by the way, my mum had volunteered for many years before, and they had space to see me. And I was unsure. I was like, ooh, counselling, ooh, I don't know. Is this okay? Is this a thing? Can I do this? Again, I'm Christian, I've got Jesus, everything's supposed to be fine. But I will never forget the image that the counsellor gave me of a lion roaring at my side, shouting my pain into existence. I learnt there and then God was not only with me, he was grieving with me too. He carried my pain alongside me. And it was during this time that I was pregnant again. Third time lucky, I thought, or third time's the one, they'll do some investigations, we'll find out what's going on. But my church were praying, my parents were praying, we were just sort of managing and being a bit cautious. But God, in his faithfulness, brought us a beautifully wonderful baby boy in June 2014, Isaiah, which means God is our salvation. Again, there is no coincidence in his name. We were overjoyed, terrified, cautious, and yet hope-filled. On the way to our very first scan, a rainbow had appeared in the sky just as I was asking, God, please be with us. I don't know what's going to come, but please be with us. And there it was. And that has been a significant symbol for us. We had it time and time again. We were coming down here. There was always a rainbow. And we went, I don't think we can ignore this. But 6 months down the line, having Isaiah, we were rushing down to A&E. My gut had told me something was wrong. There is nothing like mother's intuition. I cannot tell you. It's the weirdest experience. But it just went, something's off. Something's wrong. I don't know what it is. I thought I was going a bit mad, and I had this phrase going around in my head, he needs brain surgery, he needs brain surgery. I'm like, you're crazy. It turns out not so much, he needed brain surgery. He had excess fluid on his brain, technical term is hydrocephalus, and he needed brain surgery to drain that fluid. So I don't know if I was a bit mad, or if I had a Holy Spirit whisper in my ear that told me something horrible was to come, but he was with me. All I know is that an excruciatingly scary few days for us as his parents, Isaiah was peaceful, laughing, sleeping, and generally seemed fine. He had his first major surgery in January 2015, and was later diagnosed with a rare craniofacial condition called Crouzon syndrome. They meant very little to us, those words. We went, okay, sure. What the reality was is that we were back and forth to John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford about every 2 to 3 months, in and out of Reading, paediatrics, audiology, ophthalmology, you name it, we saw it. And I'm grateful, actually, for all that medical care. It was a lot, it was intense, but it meant that we were being looked after. Not one thing was dropped. And long story short is that through multiple major surgeries and appointments for Isaiah, we have known a God to be faithful with us and our absolute rock in times of trouble. At one particular point in a church service, I really remember feeling overwhelmed and terrified because he had an MRI scan due to come, and I had no idea what he was going to say and what the experience was going to be like. God spoke these words straight to my heart. Don't you think I know what it feels like to watch your child suffer? Okay, I'm going to say that again. Don't you think I know what it feels like to watch your child suffer? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Jesus on the cross. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was so powerful. That was like penny drop moment. Oh, my gosh. God knows the pain and suffering of watching his own son, and he did that for me. We were then blessed in May 2016 with another healthy baby boy called Jonah, who had no health concerns, and that made life a lot easier. He actually became the balance that we needed as very anxious parents. He was bouncy, he was fun, he was lively, and he brought us joy and laughter where we'd just been scared and worried. God saw our need. We've been on a journey since then, and I won't bore you with all the ins and outs, but I'm sure you can imagine. And ultimately, it's brought us down here. I tell you all of this, not for your pity, please don't pity me, but to communicate that through my life, I have experienced the love of a father and friend who has shared in my highest highs and my lowest lows. We have a God who is deeply concerned with our lives. We have a God who took it upon himself to enter our humanity, to share in our joys and our sorrows. We have a God who is called Emmanuel and walked this earth to show us the best way to be human. Jesus is this God, incarnate. Jesus is who we are celebrating this season. Now, I don't manage to feel all of this day to day, and I have had many, many questions through the years, and my faith does wobble. I'm human. But I cannot shake the certainty I have in a God who goes to great lengths to call us back to him, to love us, to call us his own. And to reference the great C.S. Lewis and his great works in Narnia, I know Aslan to be alive and on the move, roaring and breathing life into my body. For God is with us through it all. Through the kindness of others, my mind was lifted out of dark situations to see God in humans and in myself. I saw God in the therapy. I prayed prayers of absolute desperation and saw psalms that spoke exactly what I was feeling. This is my testimony, that my life points back to him, that I couldn't have walked those roads without his steadfast love. God has been with me and will continue to be with me as I walk the road to come. I need only to hold on to the hope I have as an anchor to my soul and come under the shelter of his wings. So I would just like to end with a poem that I wrote back in 2020 on this very theme. As you listen, may it be a blessing to you wherever you are at today. Emmanuel, God with us. With us in our weeping, with us in our seeking, with us when we lose our way, when we can't find the right words to say, with us when we play and when we dance, with us despite all circumstance. Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us in the waiting, in the undoing and the breaking, with us in our joys and in our celebrations. This God incarnate truly has no limitations. Emmanuel, God with us. A little babe born in true humility entered into our vulnerability. For God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ in human likeness. Indescribable love came down to show us how to live and be, how to truly listen, how to learn and begin to see. See the person he has made us. See our neighbors right beside us. See injustice and the hurting. See people's pain and their suffering. To bring hope and joy to those we encounter in our everyday. To show a God that cares for them in simple acts and little ways. Emmanuel, God is with us.